You're listening to the Mike Cara Radio Program. I am the Nation.
Welcome back to our very last segment of this edition of the Mike Cara Radio Program, Eye on the Nation. We definitely have our eye on the nation. As always, probably broadcasting from Ocoee, Florida, USA, planet Earth. And my guest today is meteorologist Steve Kirsch, who is chief meteorologist from KVII ABC Channel 7 in good old Amarillo, Texas. And again, Steve is a great meteorologist in Texas as we talk all about weather. Again, weather. One of my passions and loves, and I know it's Steve's, and I hope it's yours too. And Steve, we've been talking all about weather and all it does and all it can do. And the question, Steve, again, I'm not an expert on tornadoes, and I'm not sure how they, you know, if there's two at once, but my question is, has there ever been a circumstance that you know of where two tornadoes have collided into each other?
Yes, in fact, a lot of the bigger tornadoes are actually made up of smaller ones. The tornado that just talked about in El Reno, Oklahoma, is what we call a multi-vortex tornado. It's actually made up, in the case of El Reno, I believe the Weather Service went back and did a survey, anywhere from about 7 to maybe 12 what are called suction vortices, which are basically just mini tornadoes. Now, these will spin around each other, but this explains why sometimes you will see and hear stories of, let's just say it's a subdivision where this tornado went through, where one home is destroyed, the second home is, you know, damaged pretty good, and the third home is just sitting there and nothing happened to it at all, yet homes 4, 5, 6, and 7 were leveled. And you're like, well, how does this happen? Well, one of two ways. The tornadoes can bounce. You know, they can touch down and then lift back up and then back down, or you get this scenario that I'm talking about where you have these multiple vortices spinning around that make up the large tornado. And, you know, one spins around and takes out one home, and then there's a little bit of a break between that one and the next one, which spins around and hits the other home. So to answer your question, yes, and we have many documented video cases of either two individual tornadoes coming together to make one, or what we'll see lots of times are one tornado made up of smaller vortices, tornadoes that all spin around each other, making that large tornado. And that most of the time when you have a tornado that's a quarter, half mile, a mile and even larger in diameter, it's what's called a multi-vortex tornado.
And another question I have here, not really fun question, but, you know, I was just wondering with all these, you know, with these different weather phenomena such as earthquakes and hurricanes and tornadoes and thunderstorms, is, you know, we're talking about two tornadoes hitting. Has ever one of these others, like a tornado, hit a hurricane or things like that?
Mm-hmm. Well, in thing about hurricanes is that a hurricane can contain upwards of 50, 75, even 100 tornadoes at any one particular point in time. Hurricanes are usually very prolific tornado producers. Now, it's a little bit different from a tornado you would see out in our part of the world or even a tornado in Florida in that they are embedded within the rain bands of the hurricane. And as they move ashore, this wind that's blowing right off the water hits trees and buildings and things of that sort, and you can literally get some spin and get a tornado to go. And they're very short-lived. They don't last as long. You know, the average tornado in the plains would be about 5 or 10 minutes. That's the average lifespan of a tornado. These tornadoes may literally be 1 to 5 minutes or less, maybe upwards of just 30 seconds. But they can increase the damage that's done. And in the case of Texas, the biggest tornado producer from a hurricane was Hurricane Gilbert back in 1988, came ashore down near Brownsville, the far southern part of the state, produced over 117 different tornadoes that touched down throughout our state. So, and I'm sure Florida is much the same. And it really doesn't have to be a hurricane. You can have a tropical depression or tropical storm that can make more hurricanes, make more tornadoes than a hurricane can. It just, each storm is different. But hurricanes do, and often do, produce a tremendous amount of tornadoes when they come ashore.
Oh, okay. And now, Steve, I know being in Texas there, I'm sure you get a lot of these storm chasers. And so I don't know, maybe you're one, but I mean, what is your opinion on these guys actually trying to chase these tornadoes?
Well, and that is really kind of a sore subject now with a lot of meteorologists. Yes, I am a storm chaser. It's one reason why I moved to Amarillo from down near Abilene, was to be able to see the storms. You know, storm chasing has been going on for many, many years. probably, gosh, I remember the first storm chasers I heard of was back in the 70s. But, you know, things have evolved over time, and really there were two things that have happened that have caused the amount of storm chasers to rapidly increase. One of them was the movie Twister that came out in 1996, Helen Hunt and Bill Paxton. When that movie came out in, I believe it was May of 96, or later that year, and I want to say it was maybe June, there were eight people killed trying to chase tornadoes that weren't properly trained. And I believe one of the bigger tornado fatalities happened in Nebraska, and what was not shown in that movie was a tornado that was wrapped in rain right in the middle of the storm. And that is something that can happen, especially in your part of the country more than ours. But they were driving right in the middle of the storm, middle of the tornado, and didn't know it. And so they didn't have the proper training, and fatalities happened. Second thing that's happened that really kind of got people going into storm chasing and interested was the shows that have come out recently, Storm Chasers, you know, with the TIV that, you know, drives into the tornado and all the stuff on the Weather Channel. That has really kind of brought a fresh crop of people out that don't have the training. And it's okay to storm chase if you've been trained and you know where to go and what to do. It's not okay to chase if all you've done is watch Twister 20 times and have every single, you know, segment that's ever run on storm chasers, because those segments are edited, highly edited. You don't see a tornado every time you go out. And what is happening now is we are getting a tremendous amount of people out on the roads. And let me tell you, Florida's obviously different from Texas. You get out here and get on a country road, a dirt road, and there's 50 people, and a tornado is coming, and all of a sudden it changes directions, which it can. My fear is that we're going to have a lot of storm chasers killed. It happened last year, that tornado we talked about in El Reno. There's a guy chasing that storm that chased for 25 years, and the storms and the tornado suddenly, without warning, started coming at him, moved north at 180 miles an hour, and he did not have time to physically get away from it, and that killed three people. And that's something that I hope we don't see happen again, but I fear that it might. And we're getting a lot of storm chasers here in the Texas Panhandle. You know, it's not anything new. But last year I was out chasing storms. I met a couple from Australia that was here chasing for their vacation. They now are chasing coolers. Now, these, if someone wants to chase, I think this is probably a good way to do it. It costs some money, but they're seasoned storm chasers who know what they're doing, that will take folks from Japan, Spain, even the United States, and they're out chasing these tour buses, and one day they're in Amarillo, the second day they're in Lincoln, Nebraska, and the third day they're in Des Moines, Iowa, chasing storms. And that can be one way to do it, that you don't have to physically go out and get your car beat up and perhaps put yourself in danger trying to do it yourself.
Oh, okay. And now, Steve, I want to talk a little bit about hurricanes and, you know, tropical depressions and tropical storms, because I think our audience is always, we hear it's a tropical storm, we hear it's a tropical depression, and we hear a hurricane. I mean, what is the difference between all those?
Well, a tropical depression is an area of low pressure, an area of spinning wind and storms out of open waters. Waters have to be at least 80 degrees to get a storm to form. And that's, you know, it's the National Hurricane Center there in Miami, Florida, Tropical Prediction Center is their official term. They're the ones that monitor all this, and when a storm is a tropical depression, it has winds sustained of at least 35 miles per hour. And when those winds get over 39 miles per hour, and they're at 40, it's two things happen. It then gets the name tropical storm, and they give it a name. And they alternate names, you know, they're alternate between a woman's name and a man's name. And then if those storm continues to strengthen from 45 to 74 miles per hour, it's still called a tropical storm. Then if it goes above 74 miles per hour, has winds of 75, it becomes a hurricane. Of course, we're familiar with the Category 1, Category 2, up to Category 5, but a Category 1 hurricane has winds between about 75 and 95 miles per hour. And these are sustained winds, not gusts, sustained winds. Category 2 is about 96 to about 109 miles per hour. 3 is 110 to about 130 miles per hour. 4 is 131 to 160 miles per hour. And then, of course, it goes up the scale. Category 5 is going to have winds sustained around 156 or greater. And, you know, Category 5 hurricanes, if they get to that large of a storm, We will never use that name again. It's automatically retired from the list of names. And by the way, these list of names cycle every 7 years. But they take the ones that cause the most damage, whether, you know, if it hits, let's say, Cuba and there's a tremendous amount of damage, or the United States, there will never be another Hurricane Sandy, by the way. That name's been retired. So that's basically how it works, and the differences between the systems. You can have just a tropical disturbance, which is just an area of showers and rain and some squally weather. We know the winds 25 to 35 miles per hour. But when those winds are sustained at least 35, starts the process of it being a tropical depression. Then greater winds, higher than 40 is a tropical storm, and then greater than 74 miles per hour is when you have your hurricane.
And how does, Steve, El Nino, you know, we hear about this El Nino, how does that fit into that? What is that exactly?
El Nino is something that happens in the Pacific Ocean, and it's specifically the part of the Pacific that's on the west coast of Mexico and Central America. And by the way, this affects us here in the Texas Panhandle as well. And El Nino happens when those waters are warmer than they should be. When those waters are colder than normal, that's called a La Nina. And both of those patterns can affect Florida greatly, and they affect us as well in different ways. But for hurricane season, if there's an El Nino, that means the waters are warmer than normal, and that usually lends itself to more hurricanes in the Pacific, because I mentioned the waters have to be at least 80 degrees for a tropical storm or, you know, hurricane to form. So when that happens, it tends to be more active in the Pacific and a little bit less active in the Atlantic. So that's the times at which you'll see fewer hurricanes, which can affect Florida and the east coast of the United States. La Nina is a little bit different, and the waters are colder, so that means there's fewer storms in the Pacific, and just the opposite happens in the Atlantic. There tends to be more storms. So we have had very active years in the Atlantic where things have been pretty quiet in the Pacific. It affects our part of the world in a different way, because an El Nino for us is good. That means a lot more rain. A lot more snow during the wintertime and the fall and the spring months, so our farmers and ranchers love that, and in this horrible drought we're in, it's good for us. La Nina is terrible. That brings a lot of wind. Storms pass us by to the north. It's extremely dry, extremely windy. We've had some of the bigger fire seasons out here during La Nina winters than during El Nino winters. So this year, the waters are perfectly normal. This is what's called a neutral year. However, as we start to move into the summer and also into the fall, it's expected to kick into a El Nino, which where the waters are warmer. So that might mean, and we'll have to wait and see what the Hurricane Center has to say about this, if it's going to be active in the Pacific, it should be less active in the Atlantic. And last year was pretty inactive, and this year may be the same as far as hurricane season for the East Coast and Florida.
Okay, Steve, I want to thank you so much for your time. And before we do go, we want to let everyone know that you're on KVII ABC Channel 7 in Amarillo, Texas. And my question is, do you stream live so people could see your forecast? Or
We're working on that. We do have our Facebook page. My Facebook page, and this is a long title, and I apologize, Storm Cert 7 Chief Meteorologist Steve Kirsch. And the last name is spelled K-E-R-S-H. You can follow me on Twitter. It's at Steve Kirsch 7. That's K-E-R-S-H and the number 7. And if you want to email me with questions, S. Kirsch, S-K-E-R-S-H, at KVII.com is my email address, and I'll be more than happy to answer questions. We do all the time here in the Texas Panhandle, and that's what makes my job enjoyable is helping others learn more about the weather, showing all the neat things that happen, not only here but nationwide. It's really neat. The weather is exciting and fun. It can be dangerous, but, you know, part of that danger is being prepared and knowing certain situations and knowing what action to take during those situations, too.
Okay, Steve, any final thoughts or anything other weather things related we should know about?
Well, I just appreciate the opportunity to talk to you this morning. And, you know, it's fun. And we're certainly hoping for more rain here and in the Texas, Oklahoma panhandles and eastern New Mexico. And hopefully it'll be a fairly inactive hurricane season for you folks on the East Coast, because I know it's been kind of rough in years past. But hopefully it'll be wet for us and hopefully calm for you.
Okay, that sounds good, Steve. My guest has been Steve Kirsch, Chief Meteorologist for KVII ABC Channel 7 in Amarillo, Texas. And you've been listening to the Mike Kira Radio Show program, Eye on the Nation. And please catch us again next time.